Hello out there, welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. Today is a very special day as we welcome the leadership team of the U.S. Army G1. We'll discuss the main focus, the Army personnel, and how they're building effective policies that sustain personnel readiness in the Army's greatest asset, their people. Please stay tuned for what promises to be a great conversation. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you could start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of the military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together, they make Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I say it every week, we love them too. Today, we're talking with the leadership team from the U.S. Army G1, and I'm excited to welcome Lieutenant General Brian S. Eifler, Deputy Chief of Staff, United States Army G1, and the G1 Senior Enlisted Leader, Sergeant Major Christopher P. Smoke Stevens. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, SMA. Appreciate it.
Thank you, SMA.
Hey, no sweat. Again, we're going to talk about smoke. I love that word smoke. Somebody should call me smoke, but they may call me flame or something. I don't know. Hey, we got a lot to talk about. Before we get going here, could each one of you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself? And, sir, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it's been quite a leadership journey for me. Been in the Army for 34 years, commissioned from Central Michigan University. I was one of those few cadets that went to Ranger School as a cadet instead of the then called Advanced Camp. That really triggered into me a commitment to serve and sacrifice for our nation forever. And I've been, continued to get reinforced at every, assignment that I've been given and just inspired to continue. I joined to be a Ranger platoon leader. That's what I wanted to do, SMA. And then when I got to do that opportunity, I was like, man, this is great. I'm going to keep doing it. And I saw the value of that junior leadership and that small unit leadership, small tactics and all that. I loved it. And it's why I'm here today. I had that great experience. I think that's what's really important is that we have our new leaders that come in the Army have a great experience, and that really can carry you through. And so, along the way, met a lot of great NCOs and leaders that developed me and made me better, and had a great family that supported me the entire way. And next thing you know, much like we were talking about earlier, they made me the G1 of the Army. I would have never thought that, but here I am. So it's been quite a journey, and it continues. We got to learn every day. I'm growing. I'm getting better, and I got Smoke here that's helping educate me on a lot of the things and the expertise of the HR world. So it's always humbling, but it's always great to continue to serve and make a difference.
Yeah, I tell you what, everybody I talk to, everybody who brings them to the show, always talks about the fact that the military changed their lives.
Sure.
That it made them a better person, make their eyes open, and just a lot of very positive things about the military all the time. Now, I should say Sergeant Major, but you probably want me to call you Smoke, right? Or you want me to call you Smoke or Sergeant Major?
Smoke. At SMA, it's the Smoke.
Smoke.
Yeah, you know that. You're feeling the vibe. Okay. You know it.
I'm feeling right now. Smoke, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about you, or tell the audience about yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you, SMA. So let's go back in time, right, where it all started.
Way back in the 1900s.
Way back in the 1900s.
Like to say. Yeah.
And we'll talk about the 1900s more later. No, but, let's go back to North Jersey. Let's go back to my grandfather, actually, Cornelius Mitchell Jr., who at my birth, Smokey Robinson was his favorite singer. And at my
Smokey
birth,
Robinson.
He was like, that's my Smokey right there. Now, my mother was very adamant. Hey, you can call him Smokey all day, but it is not going on his birth certificate, you know. She was like, hey, Christopher is going to be his government name. So, you know, again, you know, SMA, honored to be here today. You talk about, you know, how does someone, you know, make that choice, make that decision to join the Army. Army was not my first choice. You know, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I was a aspiring baseball player. Some errors in youth, you know, led me to a certain point in life where it was like, hey.
That's a patented phrase, by the way, that we developed.
Errors in youth. Yeah. But I had to run and find, you know, Sergeant First Class Hernandez, who was the local recruiter in the area, and was like, hey, my man, I need you, you know. And without skipping a beat, he was like, I got you, you know, let's go. So the journey started there. Now, to be honest, you know, I was like, okay, what's the least amount of time that I can be in the Army? Because, you know, I want to get my life together. I want to try the baseball thing again. And you know, right about the 4-year stint, you know, got married, made a decision like, okay, this is what's actually best for the family. And I'll tell you, haven't looked back since. The journey has taken me from, you know, obviously a couple of ACONUS assignments, couple assignments overseas, and like what General Eifler said, you know, here we are now in the Pentagon, never thinking a day in my life that I would have the opportunity, you know, to serve at this level. So it's definitely every day, you know, I look at the 8 gentlemen on the wall who served before me, and my pledge to them is, you know, I will give you my best today because, again, I know I owe it to the 1.4 million that we're responsible for.
Yeah, make it better and better and better. And, you know, I have a little bit of the same background. I wasn't the best kid in the world. I really was a terrible kid. And the Army, the military, really opened my eyes up. It made me appreciate who I am and what I could be in the future. So I've been very blessed, just like both of you two. Hey, sir, a lot of people probably don't know much about the G1. So could you tell the audience a little bit about the G1? You know, what's the mission? What's your priorities?
Yeah, I mean, we all, in the end, on the Army staff, we're working for the soldier. That's how we look at it. That's how the chief sort of wants us to look at. people talk about customers. I don't like using that term, but, you know, that's who our number one customer is the soldier. So, well, what we do and why I was brought in is to look at things from that perspective. Everything we do, everything we plan, everything we put into a process, and you remember the bureaucracy, it's still there. And how do we crush that? How do we remove that? Because in the end, if we can't help the soldier, or if what we're doing is not helping a soldier, why are we doing it? You know, in the end, our mission really is to, you know, fight and win our nation's wars, part of a joint force. I got that. And that's really how do we do that in the G1? Well, we have to make sure formations are manned properly. We're linked into recruiting. Obviously, we've had a recruiting boom in the last 2 years, really. That's continuing. And how do we recruit the right people? We're modifying how we recruit. Surgical recruiting, surgical MOS manning, you know, same thing with retention. Retention is, you know, not everybody's should be retained, right? We're looking for people that are exceptional and can continue to serve and make a difference, and in priority, you know, specialties and MOSs. So I think we're really looking hard at how we man properly for the next war as we transform. How do we get these things right? As you can't just say, okay, we're changing, and then all of a sudden start moving people. That takes about 18 months unless you want to really screw up some families and stuff like that. So that has a sort of a compassionate feel to that, which is unlike everything else, a lot of the other things we do. So trying to man the Army with the proper structure, get people the right training, the right development, the right professional military education. We're looking at that. Where are those, you know, not meeting what we think we need for the future? So we're really embedded into everything with TRADOC and how they train, with recruiting, with manning the forces and FORCECOM and the combatant commands. So everything, you know, what I found out over the last, 11 months of me coming into this is we're involved in everything. And it's everything people. And the other thing I didn't realize when I came in is we really run the infrastructure and the manning for the civilian workforce. Mm-hmm. Which is another 250,000 that we're responsible for, as well as the Army Expeditionary Civilian Workforce. Those are the folks that are in Poland right now, or Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. They're helping with the processing in lieu of putting soldiers of those locations. So it's quite the full spectrum of operations. It's like the sun never sets on Team G1. They're all around the world doing some of these tough missions.
Yeah. Hey, SMA, if I can add to that.
Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and again, you know, you've seen the days of, you know, when we used to have the Big Six and the things that we used to focus on, you know, as an army. You know, now with technology and ensuring that, you know, how can you, you know, ensure that, you know, risk to mission, risk to the force is limited. From a dot mil PF perspective, you know, ultimately people is the driving force to ensure if you want technology to work, you know, on the battlefield or in garrison, you got to have the right skill set. So, you know, upskilling the workforce, ensuring, you know, kind of like E3 said, you know, we're bringing in people with the right skill set and then we're retaining people with the right skill set. But what I love what's happening right now with continuous transformation is people is that is the thread, you know, that's driving everything.
Well, I think the one thing, too, is you got to keep people educated. And there's so many things that are going on. There's
that's
so
right.
many policies that change all the time. How do you keep them educated about the policies that are changing so they can, you know, have a better life in the military? Sir, I think you've already answered this question. I had a question I was going to ask you. The initiatives you're currently working on as a G1, but you probably answered all those questions already about those are the issues that you think are really important that you just talked about. Sergeant Major, are there some specific initiatives you're focused on, you know, for the NCO Corps?
Yeah, so, you know, with SMA, with, you know, over 80% of the force being the enlisted force, everything that we do, we have to ensure that it's something that's going to be sustainable. It's good to experiment, and typically we'll use our officer cohort to say, all right, is this something that's going to be good for the entire Army? Again, a smaller force. But when it comes to what we do on the enlisted side, we have to ensure that that's something that's sustainable. Working, you know, and I'll just pretty much say daily with CSM Ray Harris at TRADOC, you know, in reference to, you know, the professional development model, you know, what's the future of professional military education? Because ultimately, you know, we want to ensure that proficiency, becoming an expert, you know, it drives our promotion system. Again, it is all about merit and ensuring that the right service member is giving the duties and responsibilities of that next rank. But we got to make sure our system is something that's feasible, and then it has to be executed, you know, both in the institutional Army as well as the more importantly in the operational Army, as you very well know.
Are you looking at changing the system in any way? I mean, you're probably always looking at upgrading the system or make it better for officers or non-combatants. I'll ask you, and then, sir, I'll ask you. But Sergeant Major, are you looking at changing the promotion system in any way?
Yeah, so like you said, we're always looking at how can we refine, how can we make it better? How can we ensure that, you know, the process is transparent, right? I think that's the most important thing. Going back to education, what we don't want is, you know, specialist promotable Stevens to not understand, you know, what the pathway is to becoming, you know, the Sergeant Major of the Army.
Well, wait a minute now. For me, it was a fluke. I don't know how I ever got there.
well, I think, and General Eifle hit the nail on the head about his experiences, you know, and why he stayed in the Army. It was junior leader development, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So we have realized that it has to start early on. You know, if you develop our junior enlisted force appropriately at the right time, there's again, you can be the Sergeant Major of the Army one day. But ultimately, it's about ensuring that you understand the importance of, you know, the care and the responsibility that you have to give, you know, to your team, right? So that is something I will tell you, and for anyone that's listening, you know, if you have not made your way out to our training installations, you know, foundational skills training, everything that they're doing now, and they started this probably about a year and a half ago, to ensure some of the things that, you know, we all come from different walks of life.
Yeah.
So what was put into you and your community might be different than what was put into someone else. But we know that in the Army, you know, again, we have a set of values. We have standards. We are a disciplined regimented force. So, you know, starting early on at basic combat training, ensuring that, you know, those we used to call them soft skills, right? Well, guess what? There's nothing soft about knowing how to take care of somebody, right? And it starts with taking care of yourself. So ensuring that we educate early and often on that is probably the most impactful thing, SMA.
Well, the one thing I always tell people, when all of us did the same, when I raised my hand, if I said, you know, I'll protect and defend the Constitution, that tells me two things. I'm either willing to die or willing to take a life. And so there's no, you know, we can joke and play and do all this other stuff because, you know, you got to do that. But the main thing is we're serious about our profession. Yeah. And we want to make sure we have the best people doing the right things within our military. Hey, sir, I'm going to hit on you too, but you want to talk about your promotion system? Are they looking at the officer promotion system?
Yeah.
That wasn't something I was going to ask you, but
yeah,
if you want to answer.
I think what you just talked about was really important, and we're trying to reemphasize that to make sure that we understand that, you know, people join the Army, you know, that there's some sacrifice that comes with that. You're making a commitment, like you said, to the greater good, to the greater mission of the Army, defending the Constitution of the United States. I think there's a balance there. You know, there's great sacrifice. You know, when you become a member of a team, you put on the team jersey, and then you wear that with pride. And you don't wear it out of disdain or because I have to. If that's the case, you're in the wrong profession. You want to wear the uniform. You want to wear it properly. You want to, you know, serve. And there's sacrifice. You give up some of your rights to serve. You give up some of your wants and your needs and to serve the greater good. And I think there's a balance because we have, as you know, and most of us know, a tremendous amount of great benefits for service to our country. Not just in the material, but in, you know, who you are, as we talked about, character. You talk about how you could raise your standard of living very quickly, probably no faster in any other profession or any other job can you do that in the Army and just raise your level of standard of living very quickly. And I think those are we try to balance the needs of a soldier with the needs of the Army, your wants versus your needs. The sacrifices and the benefits. And so we just sometimes time to time we need to remind people of that. And, we're just talking about promotions. So promotions, you know, are we promoting properly? I will tell you right now, our promotion rates, and this is not just for officers, but really in general across the Army, are high. And if you're wanting to be promoted, that's good. But if you're in an Army that you want to keep merit-based promotions and keep people in the Army that you need to and promote and show a difference, they're probably too high. And so that's where we have a high structure and we're not manned to that structure. So we're promoting to structure because we need more, you know, master sergeants, we need more lieutenant colonels, we need more majors. So we're promoting faster. But what that's doing is, you know, obviously that's coming at a cost. And so what we're trying to do is rebalance that, get our structure down, to manage the same, to match the level of people that we have throughout the ranks and start promoting a little bit, have a system that's more conducive to, okay, showing the difference that if you work hard and you put in the effort, you know, not everybody's getting promoted. And so I think we've got to get that back under control. So we're looking at that. We're looking at, okay, how long do you spend? And, you know, as our previous SMA, you know, you are going to do your key development time 2 years in position in that rank and those type of things to make sure we're not going too fast and creating this acceleration through the ranks without having the key development. You know, we go back in history and look at some of our great leaders, different Army, different times, different contexts, but you know, they were captains and majors for a long time. They were doing lots of jobs. And now we're seeing to like, we got to do this job. Oh, there's no time for that one because they got to get ready to do this. No, wait a second. Let's slow this down. Mm-hmm. Let's have this person be a company commander for several years, not just 12 months, and then they got to go. Or as I talked about, I would tell you right now, SMA, if I got to be a rifle platoon leader in the 82nd, I got to be a mortar platoon leader in the 82nd, I got to be a rifle platoon leader in the 1st Ranger Battalion for almost 18 months, over 3 years of platoon leader time. I will tell you right now, if I had not had that experience, I would not be here today. Mm-hmm. Absolutely would not, because that's what I wanted to do. And I think that's part of our challenge. And today, you're lucky if you get 12 months as a platoon leader. You're lucky. Yeah. And so we got to change that. And so it's not just the promotions. It's the whole officer management system that we're looking at. We're looking at functional areas. We're looking at, you know, what functional areas should be combined, what should go away, what should remain, How are we, you know, if you're not doing well in one functional area, you don't like it, or in a branch, can you transfer? Can you transfer earlier? And so we're looking at all that comprehensively, and I think the Chiefs got us and the SMA's got us in a place where we're looking at all of that and try to get better and make sure we have the officers, the NCOs, the leaders for the future Army that need to be able to lead us into those, you know, those VUCA environments that we continue to deal with.
You know, I can't agree with you more, but I think there's some people move too fast through the ranks, and when they get to the next level, they're not as good as they should have been. You know what I'm talking about? So sometimes you got to slow that process down, allow them to get qualified at that particular MOS or that field or that level, and then move on. But on the other side of that, there is sometimes in war, sometimes you move people a lot quicker, and because they can advance a little bit quicker. So you got to be able to sort of say, well, this person, he can take that additional pressure and stuff. So, hey, this is a great discussion. I probably could talk to you guys for 12 hours about this, but we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what the Chief of Staff, General George, is, what kind of directives he's getting. We touched on it here just a minute ago, though. So please stay right there. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, you got to be enjoying it because we're talking about you. We're talking about what we could do to make your Army better, what the personnel system is doing to make sure you're qualified in that particular MOS before you move forward. It's about your advancement, about your promotion, about, you know, how do we make it better for all of us? We're all part of a family, and we need to make sure we take care of each other. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lieutenant General Brian S. Eifler, Deputy Chief of Staff of the United States Army G1, and the G1 Senior Enlisted Leader, Sergeant Major Christopher P. Smoke, I love it every time I say it, Stevens. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support what we're doing here on behalf of our veterans and their families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you're planning on getting rid of or some property you have no plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate. And click on that vehicle donation button or that home donation button to support our work. We really would appreciate your support. Sir, what is the Chief, General George, telling you about the, you know, specific priorities he has, you know, you directed on or really to focus on?
Well, there's a lot, and I'll give you
a few
of the recent ones. One of the things that we really want to work at is improve the soldier experience for in processing and out processing, right? We've been doing this since George Washington, right? I got to go to CF to get to that stamp. CIF to get that stamp, you know, whether I have stuff there or not. And so what we can do is automate that. And so what we're doing is, how can you do some of this stuff on our phone? You know, when's the last time we go to the bank to cash a check? You know, yeah. You could do this all on the phone. So we can do a lot of things. And we're going out to installations, going out to all the reception battalions and companies and saying, okay, how can we do this better? How can we make it a better experience for the soldier? Eliminate a lot of extra time and effort that is just not needed So that's one of the things there. And streamline and say, what do you really need to do? And then even more importantly, not just the in-process and out-processing, but as we like to call onboarding. Some people, you know, we've been calling it sponsorship for, well, how do we onboard personnel? How do we do that better and get that experience well? So a lot of our challenges have been contacting folks and soldiers coming from the IET world because they, you know, how do we reach out to them? How do we know they're coming? Well, they all have phones. And now we're creating a simple access point so when they get into the basic training, they input their data, their cell phone number, for example, email address if they got one, into IPSA, bam, every unit can access them and get a hold of them now. So some of those things are changing to get better. We want to make sure we're onboarding people properly, bringing them in transparently, and allow units, you know, because, you know, there's always a borrowed military manpower bill on some of this stuff. Allow units to focus on training and warfighting and get them out of the BMM and doing these all these extra stuff. If a soldier comes there, they're ready to go. They're welcomed properly. Their family's welcomed properly. So we're looking at all that stuff. We're trying to reduce the IDES process, you know, as people out process. You know, that's like a year-long process. You know, and that's like on a good year. We want that down like a moonshot, as the secretary calls it, 60 days. Can you imagine that? That is a moonshot. That is like landing on the moon. But we got to think past like, well, this takes this long and this. So we're really trying to reimagine some of these things using AI in reducing, like when we do our centralized boards, we can have AI machine learning sift through evaluations and really cut down the amount of time that a leader has to spend on files appropriately and in a way that a leader can get to, okay, instead of there for 3 weeks, they're there for a few days and they're doing the real hard work that a human has to do. But so we're looking at things like that. How do we, you know, incorporate some of these things to reduce the time and effort? The other thing is IPSA, you know, the Integrated Personnel and Pay System. You know, we've got, it's moving, it's going in the right direction. It's a little bit slow. We've got to streamline it, make it better, hold our contractors accountable for building it properly and fast enough so it's adaptive and flexible. And our own soldiers don't need a class on it. It should be very intuitive and not require a lot of extra training. Things that you can do, like I said, on your phone. Why can't I upload documents with my phone like I do with a check with the bank? We can do that. And so that's what those are some of the things we're trying to get to and get to manning the force properly is one of the biggest things. And that we're tied in with, as Smoke said, with USAREC, Recruiting Command, and TRADOC. We're all synced to make sure we're bringing in the right people, the right MOSs, have the right training seats available, and the drill sergeants and all the specialty folks that are needed for that, so we could get them in the unit. So that synchronization has been streamlined and improved dramatically over the last couple of years to help with that. So that's some of the things that we've been
Let me jump on this real quick. A cool thing, when I was a division sergeant major, I remember I got a call from you, sir, through the sergeant major of the Army. He says, "Hey, Tilly, how come you have 60 people that hadn't went at the time PLDC? Now they call it something else, but at school. And how come you haven't got them in school? And why? What's the problem down there?" Well, it turns out once we got all the information straight, they all had been to school. Mm-hmm. So the process of getting information from the bottom to the top is sort of screwed up there a little bit. I was screwed up. The other thing is, it's too bad when you get this app. If you go anywhere, you see people in that iPhone's in their face all the time, and they're looking stuff and stuff. So why don't we have retirement benefits? Why don't we have financial education?
Yep.
All that stuff on that app so you can look at all that information and make it of that process a little bit faster. Last thing I'll tell you, remember, I don't know if you guys know General Kukulo, you know him?
Yeah, sure.
He was a public affairs years ago. So I know that he was a, either a captain or lieutenant colonel when I was, might be a lieutenant colonel when I was division sergeant major. But he talked about one time that the Army gets a good idea. We talk about it, and then it's outdated. Come on now. And what you're talking about is speeding that process up, which is a great idea, which makes it a lot good. You got me so pumped up again. I can't stand it. Smoke. Go ahead, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, well, so there was something I want to talk about in reference to a focus area. But real quick, SMA, you know, you talk about the cycle of good ideas and then, you know, and when you action something. That is the great thing about our current, you know, Army senior leaders right now when it comes to, you know, and it's not just the Army Transformation Initiative. It's about continuous transformation. And like you said, it's kind of like a targeting cycle because, like, you know, ultimately, if you want to put steel on a target, you have to ensure that, you know, you get the appropriate information, a decision is made, and then, you know, the command to initiate is done. That is what our Army senior leaders is about right now. So, you know, you're going to see some things happen a lot faster when it comes to, you know, procurement, the acquisition process. You know, General Eifert brought up, you know, our personnel and pay system, you know, IPS. That is going to be revolutionary. It's going to be something that, again, you know, an old school service member from the 1900s, you know, would not have understood. You know, I was still getting LESs and attempting to hand them out. Right? You remember that, right? I knew everyone's Social Security number.
I remember that too well. I used to hand them out myself.
That's right.
10 copies of your orders,
that's
please.
That's right. Need them.
Oh, my God.
Don't have to worry about that. But I did want to say this, you know, and this kind of goes back to the 1900s, you know, but when we had that lull before GWAT kicked off where, you know, training management and ensuring that what we were doing in garrison, not everyone was able to go to CTC rotations, you know, so what you were doing at home station was so important. But it was really more about sitting down and having conversations with each other and knowing the importance of inspirational leadership and then using, you know, documents like this. Right. So FM 1-0, it's been out on the streets for a few months now, but ensuring that everyone understands, you know, what grounds us. You know, why do we serve? What are the things that we have to do, you know, here in garrison to ensure that when it's time to go to our Super Bowl, you know, or you pick whatever you want to call the main event when the nation calls on us, that's not the time to try to, you know, get ready. You know, so what are we doing every day to ensure that we're ready? So when called upon, it's just like muscle memory. So, again, you know, one thing that we're really, you know, putting on the field right now is ensuring they understand, you know, why we exist. We're doing a lot of writing, you know, talking about experiences, sharing it, you know, throughout, you know, the Combined Arms Center. You know, they have the repository there when it comes to, you know, lessons learned, lessons observed, you know, the things, again, that make us better, that we can sit around, you know, underneath the oak tree and talk to, you know, the team, the platoon, the company battery and troop about.
Well, you know, 90% of leadership is being available. Getting out and talking to people, communicate people. Hey, sir, I know people are Army's primary weapon system and the Army's number one priority, and also the Army's constantly innovating weapons, equipment, and doctrine. Where is the Army innovating in the personnel space? And again, I think you've hit a lot of things already. Is there any more innovation, any more things you want to talk about in that area?
Yeah, there's a couple things. You know, some people have recently come across we call Detachment 201, where we're bringing in executive level leaders from tech companies and make them lieutenant colonels in the reserves. We just did four last month, or was it? Yeah, it was last month. We did four that were executives from industry, and you know, people were like, "Oh, well, they're just trying to get contracts for their organization." You know, we're not that sneaky, and we're not that good at being sneaky. But what we need is their expertise. We need their ability to cut through some of the. You know, I'm not a tech guy. I need an expert to help me through that. It's some of the IPSA things that we're doing. And we have acquisition folks that are experts in the acquisition. But we also need some of the industry to say, hey, why aren't you doing this with your drone program? And, you know, things that we don't even think about. We need someone that has that expertise, and they're not always in the Army. And so one of these things at Detachment 201 is bringing someone in, and so they can still do their day job, but we can tap into their expertise and use them as reference. And they're helping us get, and because they want more people that want to do this, more people in industry want to do this, because they see, you know, you think of World War II, where we had some greatest minds working on technology and things for us. We got to still tap into that. We have to, and we brought, remember, we brought those folks into the Army. We brought people in to be broadcasters. We brought people in to do all sorts of things in the Army. We changed industry. So that's some of the things we're looking at people. And then, like I said, we're looking at, how we transfer MOSs at times that make sense. We do enlistment bonuses where they're needed. You know, money's not always the answer, right? So what other things we can do with personnel that are interesting, targeting retention. So we're really, we really focused on recruiting the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're looking at how do we do retention? And so this year we're doing it surgically. We're not just, hey, everybody, you get this or everybody gets this. It's like this MOS, this specific is going to be this. This is going to be. And so really using, being good stewards of our resources, putting the money where it needs to be, and emphasizing the key MOSs, and then being able to transfer to other MOSs at certain times is also changing, especially in the officer world, where there, you could transfer maybe earlier, and before people are making a decision to get out of the Army, give them the decision before, not after that time. So some common sense things that we're doing in the people, how do we keep our warrants and our flight warrants? And so we've really, again, like we talked about, we don't always have the best ideas up here. What our ideas and our interaction is really come from with the units, mm-hmm. We could still maintain, the worst thing we could do is up here in the Pentagon is be detached from the Army. And it's easy to do, as you remember. You could just be making decisions absence of facts. So what we do, we over-communicate with the field. Hey, we're thinking about doing this. Give us your feedback on this. Or they'll come up to us and say, hey, why don't we do this? And we're like, yes, we're doing that. And the chief says, let's make it happen.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, it's really funny you say that, because I used to tell people when I was a Sergeant Major Army, I'm sure the Sergeant Major Army does it now, but he's the bridge between the force.
Yeah.
And the Pentagon. Yeah. I used to go out and talk to a bunch of people and give me all this information, and I'd share that with the Pentagon staff. Say, hey, here's what I'm hearing out in the field. And the key to success in leadership is being able to talk to the field,
See
what's going on. Because the other thing I'll tell you too, it's funny you say that, because if I wanted to work on my engine of a car, I'd get a mechanic.
That's right.
I wouldn't do it myself because I'm spending all that extra money.
It doesn't matter how much you love that car. You love that car. You're still not a mechanic. You need somebody to say, hey, wait a second.
Well, I tell you, I did that years ago. I had a truck I was working on. I think I dropped a crescent wrench, knocked a hole in the radiator. I did all sorts of stuff. And I realized that I'm not the guy to do this anymore.
Well, humility goes a long way. Humility goes a long way.
Absolutely. Hey, Sergeant Major Lydell, where are you going? I guess you're going back to the basics. How important is the basics?
Yeah, well, again, I go back to, when I first came in back in the 1900s, I had a specialist who sat me down and we literally talked through, again, what are the things that, govern us? What are the things that, daily, I might have learned it in basic combat training, I might have learned it in my MOS school, but he wanted to ensure, he reinforced, this is who we are as an Army, and this is why it's important that we do this. The small things that sometimes you don't think about, right? And again, I go back to, if you do it right in garrison, when you are in the Super Bowl, when you are out there, in a very unique environment, you're disconnected, from the rest of the company battery and troop, and you're attempting to operate, those things kick in place, right? So that's why, again, standards and discipline are so important. SMA, you probably seen a couple of weeks ago, we published, and really it was kind of a reinforcement of, we'll just call them, shaving standards, right? And again, this was very specific, because what we have seen, we'll say over the last, 10 years, is that, Prospect Stevens, literally coming off the street, right? I'm not shaving. I don't know how to shave. It wasn't something that I did in my family. We really didn't focus on it as you were coming through the accessions pipeline, out in, recruiting and or at the MEP station. And then by the time you get to basic combat training, it's like, here's your razor, go, right? And again, I talked about it earlier about, you know, foundational skills training and things that we're doing there within basic combat training. But really it starts, you know, again, as I'm being prospected to come in, you know, to the Army. So Sergeant Major Shade Monday and his team out there doing a phenomenal job. The recruiters are actually, you know, actually talking to prospects and saying, hey, you know, I know that you don't shave. Do you know how? We want to make sure people are educated, they're trained, they understand so that you don't, you know, use dirty blades. You know how to wash your face. You know how to do things appropriately so that you don't get skin irritations and or the skin disease itself. So, again, you know, put a reinforcement of the standard out there, making sure people understand the importance of, hey, we're giving you time. Sit back down with your medical provider and make sure, you know, you work through what is your treatment plan. It's kind of like if you tear your ACL, right? What do we want to do? We want to make sure that you rehab appropriately so we can get you back in the fight. It's no different, you know, when it comes to shaving. And another piece with that, too, your medical provider is the one that's going to, you know, again, put together your treatment plan. But then you're sitting down with your battalion commander to ensure, yep, this is what makes sense. I support you. I'm going to ensure any resources that you need from the organization, you know, the NCO support channel is here to assist you. Again, it's about getting back within the standard. And then obviously over the next, you know, probably 6 to 12 months, we'll see some more things that we're doing here inside the, inside the Pentagon. And again, this is from the bottom up, you know, feedback that we got throughout the force on, hey, how can we ensure that if we're going to have a policy, you know, they as leaders are out there are able to enforce it. It has to be something that, you know, is enforceable at the most junior level.
You know, it's funny you say that. When I was every level I ever worked at in the Army, I always focused on the basic. I tell everybody, I said, no matter what happens, yep, when the bullets start flying, can you shoot your weapons?
That's right.
Are you physically fit? Are you mentally tough? And so I really focused on a lot of just the basic fundamentals of being a soldier.
Good.
Throughout my entire,
yep,
career. Because I'd been, I don't know if I told you, when I was in Vietnam years ago, I was overran half the unit when I, you know, 20 wounded and 7 killed, I think it was. But that stuck with me my entire military career. And I knew then that I'm never going to not know how to do the basic fundamentals of whatever the hell it was and get the job done. Hey, you both play a key role in strengthening the Army through standards and discipline, which is one of the, which is really, I tell you, I'm just talking about, which is one of my favorite topics. What does that mean to the Army and both of you and, you know, the roles you have? So, sir, let's start with you. You know, what's your favorite topic, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, leadership. I just say that the discipline is just is foundational. I mean, of any successful Army, an indisciplined, yeah, Army is not worth the salt. I mean, you could see that going on in some of the things that are happening around the world. The discipline of the American Army is so important. It's why we've been around for 250 years. And it's little things, right? If you can't do the little things, which is what we're talking about, and some of the, you know, how you wear your uniform, your grooming, your appearance, and how you show yourself as a representation, as an ambassador of America in this uniform, that matters, and it should matter. And when you start thinking that it doesn't, we have failed to inculcate that into our soldiers, that they need to come in from day one and understand that when they put on the colors of their nation, that you are bigger than yourself. You are not just,
absolutely,
who you were before. You're something different. You're part of a team, a championship team, that is going out there, and never forget it. And I, you know, some people forget that, quite honestly. And we have to remember and remind people that this is what we're about. And if you can't be a part of that, then go find another profession. We need people that are going to put themselves aside, put their nation first, you know, as I like to say, remain apolitical and look to help the nation. When the nation calls, we go. And whatever it is, as you know firsthand, we go some places and we have to figure things out. I mean, I don't know how to run I didn't know how to run a city in Iraq. I mean, that's what we ended up doing in some cases, right? And some of those other things, but we figured out. And so we have to, I guess one of the big things, and you saw this, the units that really get this, you know, you talk about resiliency, you talk about discipline, you talk about training levels, the units that really, and the leaders that really get, do hard tough, difficult, challenging training. That's what, because that's what you're going to have to do in combat. And if the first time you experience that is combat, you know, you don't just go to the Super Bowl and just, you know, no, you go through 17 games to get there. Mm-hmm. And you practice and you train and you fight battles and battles. And you and then you get to the Super Bowl, you're ready to go. You can't just show up and see how it goes. You have to prove yourself through those crucibles of training. And that training's got to be causing failures, and we got to be okay with that. You know, not everybody's going to get that trophy. Not everybody's going to succeed. And when you start understanding that, hey, as long as I fail here, this is good. I'm getting better. That's okay. You know, talking about what we were earlier with people, you know, making some decisions based on life. We've got to develop that into who we are. You know, every story, SMA, every movie we see, every book we read is about someone that overcomes the adversity and the challenges or whatever, and they've come to the top. Well, that's what we have to do. We can't accept a defeat and just be okay with that. We can't accept failure. We can't, but it's going to happen, and we've got to be able to adapt to overcome. And I think the more we inculcate that in our training and our leaders, and I think that's what we're trying to do at all levels, the better army we're going to be. We can't be a mamby-pamby army. We can't be, you know, a really soft and cuddly. We've got to be prickly. We've got to be dangerous. And that comes with risks. The training we do, as you know, is very difficult. It's very challenging. People get hurt. We try to minimize that. But this is a tough profession, and that's what we need out of our soldiers that come into it.
Golly, you know, you got me so pumped up right now. Hell, I don't know what to do.
I got your enlistment papers right here, SMA.
Hey, well, calling people back. Hey, look here. I'll say one thing real quick. Everything you said, I agree 100%. But one thing I want to reemphasize, when you wear that uniform, you represent this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you put it on, make sure everything is perfect on that uniform. When you're out at the airport, whatever you're mm-hmm. doing. And people look at that, and they judge all of us based on one person. If he's not squared away, if he's not doing the kind of things he or she should be doing, they're going to judge the rest of us based on that individual. So I can't agree with you more. Sergeant Major, how about yourself? You want to add anything to that?
Yeah, SMA, you know, reminding everyone that, you know, the Army, it's our institution.
That's right.
No one can take away our values. Again, you know, we have those values for a certain reason. Yes. You know, things since 1775, we talk about this a lot. You know, the way we assess, the way we train, the way we develop, those things have changed. And they should over time, right? Because the battlefield, you know, again, why we're here, you know, as an Army, what we need to provide our nation, that those things have changed over time. But our values, right, they remain constant. Why we rely on each other, why we hold each other accountable. For me, the most impactful thing that I think that I have the opportunity to do every day is to ensure that leaders understand the importance of, you know, their role in developing, you know, the people that they're responsible for. When you look at any professional, you know, sports, you know, organization, no one's going to settle for like second rate. It's about winning. And again, as an Army, we know what winning means for us, yeah. Right? So what do I have to do to ensure that my teammate understands their role, the importance of what they bring to not just our individual team, but to the Army, and then how are we going to get better together? To me, that's inspirational leadership. That's your purpose. That's what drives you. And that's why people should want to wake up every morning and say, okay, I cannot wait, you know, to make my way to the PT formation, because I know today is probably going to be the day that young specialist is going to try to beat me. But I'm going to push myself, you know, as well as the rest of the squad, the rest of the platoon.
That didn't happen yesterday at PT.
It did not.
They did
SMA
not beat us. They tried.
Yeah.
Not
even I was actually getting ready to go into yesterday's PT session. We had about 50, you know, G1 teammates out there on Fort Myers yesterday, and it was great. There was a lot of, we'll say, not manipulation. You were navigating. You're maneuvering through to ensure that you're winning in the most expeditious manner. And I mean, you know, Team Smoke won. I mean, that's what we saw yesterday, sir. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, there must be a hidden agenda. There must be something right there. Hey, look here. I'm going to say one thing. We're all part of a family. we all take care of each other, and it is a big team. So, hey, we need to take another quick – I love this conversation. I don't want to take a break, but we need to take another break. So, please, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by – Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Lieutenant General Brian S. Eifler, Deputy Chief of Staff in the United States Army G1, and the G1 Senior Enlisted Leader, Sergeant Major Christopher P. Smoke Stevens. I love that. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sir, Sergeant Major, if you could wave your hand, I'm going to wave both my hands right now. If you could wave and make it so, what would be the single personal problem you'd like to address immediately? And, sir, I'll start with you.
Geez, I've got a long list, SMA.
But you only use one.
I think one of the biggest things, because we've got great people. We have great people coming in the Army. We've got great people in the Army. We've got great leaders. We have a lot of things. One of the things that I want to make sure happens is we talked a little bit about IPSA. That's 21st century stuff, and that is, you know, sort of the foundation for everything. Everything feeds into IPSA. IPSA feeds into all these other systems, but it's a system of systems. So what I really want that thing to do, it is a piece of technology. There's software involved, but if we get that where we need it to be, as Smoke said earlier, it is game-changing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to do anything. Like, the system knows I'm PCSing, okay? And it does everything for me. Like, it's such a game changer that could eliminate a lot of time, a lot of money and resources that we spend on processing people. You remember when you were a young NCO and even a specialist way back when, right, SMA, and you're going to the pack. It's at lunch because that's the only time you got. And there's a sign on the pack saying, closed for lunch. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that.
Yeah, we are got to be past that. And the pack folks, now they work through lunch. So that's not a fair assessment anymore. But the point is we've got to get into the 21st century. I need, like, we were making fun of having 10 copies of orders or getting the CIF stamp. We can't do that. With IPSA, the minute they come into into basic training, they're in the system. How many times have you filled out your name and SOSH when you go to something over your career? Imagine if you just did that once. Once. I got my ID card. You have everything. So we have all that technology. I think that's the biggest thing, is getting over this big hurdle, getting it in place, getting a system that's in place that's very easy. You know, when you get an app on your phone, you don't have to take a class to figure it out, right? You just figure it out. It's intuitive. So a system that's intuitive that gives you 100% accountability of where every single person is in the Army and answers all their needs. Imagine just ask HR, ask the Army, hey, I want to do this. Oh, okay, yeah, here's what you need to do. Here's the form. We'll submit it for you. That's all AI can do. Like, why aren't we doing that? So I think this is a game changer. I think that's one of the biggest transformation things that we can help with the Army, is reduce the administrivia, as I call it, down to such a small piece that we can really focus on the talent management. We can really focus on our warfighting skills and things like that. I think that's probably, if I could just put in place and fix in one big swoop, that'd be it, SMA.
There you go. I appreciate you. I got one to add to that. I have a son that has a disability. It's never going to change. But every 4 years, I renew his ID card.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought, that's a great one. Well, that's a great example.
It doesn't make any sense. And I say it to him every time, I'm doing this. I got to submit paperwork. Mm-hmm. And it's the same stuff. And so it's a little annoying. But, you know, I say, well, okay, I guess. Sergeant Major, same question.
Yeah, well, General Eifler took mine. I'm just going to be honest with you. We didn't do rock, paper, scissors. I lost that one. No, I have one. And we talked about retention earlier, yeah, right? But this is the thing. So, you know, the retention program, typically it's what's the capabilities that we need in the Army, a skill set of an individual, based off what the Army structure is, right? We've come leaps and bounds, SMA, in really saying, okay, the Army structure is going to be this for a period of time. If you remember back during your time frame, I mean, we have never done a good job of allowing like the dust to settle and say, okay, this is what we're going to be to ensure that, you know, when we have to do reclassifications or if we want to give money to a specific skill set, right, the retention, you know, bonuses, we actually know what we need for a period of time. We're getting ready to come to a place where, you know, it's going to be data informed. We're going to be proactive. We are going to be able to say, this is what we actually need, you know, in the Army by MOS, by grade. And then, you know, here's how we're going to compensate, you know, for that skill that you have. Now, what's even more revolutionary, and this kind of goes back to working with Training and Doctrine Command, is, you know, the digital job book. The things that we know by MOS and by grade you need to do and to be in order to say you are proficient, you are an expert. That's, you know, it's like old school, you know, SDT, SQT, you know, back in the 1900s, you know, what was taking place. But now, again, using technology, we're able to see, you know, real time. From using applications that, you know, that's what we're going to need for future capability. So, again, I'm excited about that. And, again, every day is just something, you know, that we're proud to say that we're assisting the enterprise with that.
Yeah, one of the things that's always a problem, every 4 years or 3 years we rotate. And people come in with different thoughts and ideas. So we got to make sure that we say, hey, we're working on this. Don't change it. Yeah. Just continue to build on it. Make it better and better. Yeah. And I think sometimes we want to change things to try to make it better based on your opinion. And that's good. We got to do that. But let's finish the act. Let's get it done. Let's start it and come to closure on those things. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, don't be afraid to change something, too. If you've been doing it for 10 years, it may not be the right thing. Let's change it. So anyway, you guys are going great. This is such a great discussion. Hey, I got to talk about something really I enjoyed so much. Sir, during the Army's 250th anniversary celebration, you've provided commentary, you know, at the parade on C-SPAN. And I would have loved to do that, but they didn't call me. Would you share your experience of watching the history present, you know, the present, future, and the Army display? I mean, I said it a minute ago. I was never so proud to see that on TV. And I heard a lot of people talk about wasting money doing all that stuff. It's the first time, and I was in the Army 36 years, I've been out 20, so it's the first time in 56 or 57 years I've seen the Army displayed in that way. I was just so proud. So,
yeah,
go ahead, sir.
we were so honored. First, they're like, hey, we want you to go do the parade narration, and we're like, what? So we're gonna miss the parade, and we're like, oh, this will be like Macy's Day, you know, Thanksgiving. This will be great, and we got fired up for it. And you know, C-SPAN was great. I don't think they were ready for us, SMA, what we were gonna bring.
Right?
I don't know if their normally clientele has some as much exuberance as we brought. But we wanted to do more. We actually wanted to narrate. We could have narrated the whole thing because we had the charts out in front of us. We knew all the people in the parade. So we were going to, you know, throw some targeted fun at some of our buddies that were in the parade, you know. And we try to do that as best as we can. But we had a blast. I will tell you, when we were down there for the festivities portion out in D.C. In the mall, we were getting in a car to, because we had to drive to C-SPAN to do the narration, because we did it inside their studios. And when we were leaving, I mean, it warmed my heart. I mean, it hit me. The lines of people trying to get in to the parade was amazing. I mean, 200,000. Yeah. I mean, it was. I was not ready for that. I mean, most people, like we were talking about, like, hey, I'm not going to go to that thing. I got to wait in line. They were waiting in line and had no problem with it. I mean, thick lines of, you know, five people wide and just going for blocks, miles, just to get in to see the parade.
Yeah.
I mean, we drove through that, and I was like, I had no idea that you know, like you said, it just inspired me. Like, it was that important for people to come from all over the place to come see it. And, you know, that people, you know, some of the media threw some political shade on it and all that stuff. But if you were there, you knew it was something special that you were being a part of.
Well, you know, I got an invitation to go, and I'd already had – I was going to go to a celebration in Tampa down there, and I already committed to that, so I couldn't go. But when I watched that parade,
you got the next best thing with us.
I should have skipped it and went to the parade. I wish I'd have been there. That was just so inspiring. I mean, I loved it. I loved every. I wish we could do that every other day or something, like maybe every week or maybe once a year. Go ahead, Sergeant Major. You want to add anything to that?
Yeah, you brought up something earlier, SMA, about, you know, the American public knowing who we are as an Army. It was what I appreciated, Mr. Pedro, who was the C-SPAN journalist who was there on stage with us. As we were talking through it, he kind of shared, you know, his father's experience. He was a service member. He was actually a drill sergeant. So allowing us to give our, you know, professional journey, you know, what we do in the Army, you know, why it's important that we have that connection with the teammates that we're talking to daily, whether it's Walmart, Chick-fil-A, you pick a place, right? But allowing us to do that on that stage was phenomenal. So, again, I really appreciate that opportunity also.
Yeah, you know, that, again, going back to what I said before, we need to tell our story.
Yeah.
We don't tell our story. I get out and I tell my story all the time. I don't know if people like it or not, but I tell my story, and I'm going to continue to tell my
continue
story.
Continue to
and
do
there's
it.
There's a lot of guys.
Continue
and,
to do
well,
it.
Well, there's a lot of guys like, well, you got to do it. And Tilly, I told you before I overran, and I've had some form of post-traumatic stress for all my life. But it's a therapy for me to talk about those things, and it makes me feel better. So, hey, thanks. First, I've got to say thanks for coming on the show. You just brightened my day. I certainly appreciate that. And this has been an absolute great discussion. But unfortunately, we gotta stop. I'm mad now. I'm going to come back tomorrow and say, get him back on the show. Hey, sir, any final thoughts, anything maybe we want to go over again, or maybe you missed?
Yeah, I would just caveat what you just said about telling your story. We need veterans and to tell the story of the Army and tell their story, and that's the Army. And I think more people need to, and that's why Smoke and I had such a good time, because we got to do that in front of the nation, and really, as much as we could, tell the Army story. Like, look what's happening right before you. Like you said, we haven't seen anything like this. We don't do this. You know, I did this up in the 11th Airborne. We opened the post. We let people come in and see airborne operations. We let them see air assault They don't know what that means when you say air assault. And so when you show them, and it's just intriguing. It's a trust, it's a transparency, and it's a pride that they get, knowing that, oh wow, this is what our country can do. This is what you guys do. This is what our community, you know, the leaders in our community does, because we can work alongside them, and they might not have any clue of what goes on. So I think you're exactly right. We got to stop being too humble about telling our personal story. We've got to get that out there, because more Americans, when I found out about the Army, that triggered me. I was all in. And so that's going to be a trigger for somebody. Your story, what you went through, how it made you. We just talked to a young private yesterday that was helping us out, was one of the medics.
POC
turned his life around.
Yeah.
The Army is helping him do that, and he loves it. And he's a fit. He's a great fit. And I think someone telling the story, whether it's an uncle, a friend, an acquaintance, but tell the story. I think that's really important.
Smoke, go ahead.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Yeah, SMA, since you know, they, General Eifert rarely gives me the mic because I will go in a direction. No, but I'm going to take this opportunity because sure. You and I have talked about, you know, the G1 leadership team coming on this this show for a couple of years now, and we're here, so yeah. I thank you. But I want to thank you because, you know, you are Sergeant Major of the Army, 9/11.
Yep.
I have, you know, the opportunity to text and talk with Gil Morales, who was your G1 Sergeant Major, you know, because Larry Strickland lost his life, you know, in the attack, right? So for me, you know, it is constant. Hey, talk to me about leading through, like, change in an environment like that. That is different. No one knows that except you guys, right? So again, I thank you for, you know, not just your service in Vietnam, but your service through up here in this nation that was, you know, I pray never happens again. But the bottom line, it did happen. And you guys led us through something that was pretty impactful. You did a podcast recently called Be the Bridge. And that's our role.
Yeah.
Again, you know, we joke about the 1900s. But the bottom line was, you know, we were able to get, you know, coaching, development, mentorship from, you know, not just individuals like you. I think about, you know, Master Sergeant Robert J. Garnto from Southern Georgia, you know, a Master Sergeant who, you know, PFC Stevens never should have had an interaction with in the 3325, you know, Battalion S3. But, you know, every day he ensured he poured into me and talked to me about service and, you know, what he went through, you know, during Vietnam and what he was experiencing there in the early 90s. So again, I salute you and, you know, the teammates that, you know, came with you. You've all poured into us, and it's our responsibility to do the same to this next generation, SMA.
Well, God bless you. I'm going to ask you to do a favor for me, though, but anybody in the Army that you think that you'd like to have come on our podcast, any of the commanders or somebody that we want to get the word out about something, you know, you can get a hold of me real easy. Send us a name, whatever, if it makes sense for us to talk to them about. And we have a lot of active duty and veterans that listen to our show. But if it makes sense, send their information to us. We'd love to get them on the shows because we want to tell the story as much as we can about what's going on in our military. So I can't thank you both enough for coming on the show. Hope you had a good time. Spread the word around to the G2, the G3, the G4, all those G's up there. Tell them to come on the show. We'd love to talk to them.
Not the G3, SMA. Not the G3. Horrible leadership team. Horrible.
It's a horrible
team. Horrible. No, I'm joking. We love General Ryan and Sergeant Major Caprotti. We will definitely we'll talk to them and get them on the team.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Well, anyway, God bless you. Thanks for coming on the show. God bless you.
God
guys
bless
have
you.
A great day.
Thank you, SMA.
Thanks, SMA.
Thanks again to Lieutenant General Brian S. Eifler and Sergeant Major Christopher P. Smoke Stevens for being with us. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission Video Podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Opline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages. Never thought I'd ever see this. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, of course, Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast releases. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Lieutenant General Eifler and Sergeant Major Stevens, Smoke, for being with us today. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not pumped up today about what we just did, we talk to the people that certainly care about our Army, about changes, about making things better, about our Army, about making our lives better, and still willing to give their life in defense of our country. People that love you for who you are. Be a part of the Army. Be with us in the Army. I just can't say enough about what they do each and every day to make my life or make your life better. Reach out to them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you want to help them. And more than anything else, support our great army, because they support you each and every day. And thanks for watching. Thanks to Newmont Studios, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.